Good morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. My name is Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start this podcast off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Noral Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, good day. Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here. My name is Jeff Walsh, and I've been in Fort McMurray since 2008. I'm going to be running for the Catholic School Board, so a little bit about myself. I've been supporting the youth in our city here since 2017, Christian Youth Ministry, with Fort City YWAM since 2017 till today, and then I just helped Jen McDonald get the Catholic youth started up, and I've been doing that since January. It's a bit of a vocation for me, and I've got my own business here as well, trucking business, and I'm director of operations for Goat Mechanical.
So. Is that the name of the company?
Yeah.
What, say one more time for me?
Goat Mechanical Services.
Goat?
Like, yeah.
Okay.
G-O-A-T. So the trucking company me and the owner started, so I'm co-owner on that, and but I always tell the youth it's God over all things. Not greatest of all time, it's God over all things. So, yeah.
As in, like, goat, like if you're talking about, like, sport goats,
yeah,
or rap,
yeah, like Michael Jordan, and yeah, for sure.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. How did you get into youth ministry?
Well, I guess it started out, I didn't really, my parents weren't Christian. I didn't grow up really that religious, except going to church with my grandparents. I got into Stoic philosophy. I don't know if you know, there's a guy named Ryan Holiday, wrote some books, The Obstacle is the Way, The Daily Stoic. So I got into philosophy in around 2016, and then that led me to ask some metaphysical questions, and so I attended a service at Fort City. Pastor Doug Doyle, who's a friend of mine, that's the first time I met him, he talked about how science and religion are not in opposition, and that was a really, that was an interesting concept that I really had to contemplate. He came down at the end of the service, shook my hand, asked me if I wanted to go for a beer one day, and a couple of weeks later, I met with Doug, and we started talking philosophy and the Logos, and I started attending the church, and then at this same time I had started up my business, and I was doing very well, and I was talking to my cousin one day, my older cousin, he's a teacher, and I was talking about, you know, I was kind of feeling an urge to give back to the community, and he said to me, he worked on a reserve, Hobima, for 3 years, and he told me that an elder once told him that kids need pillars outside of the home. So, you know, they need someone to lean on. That could be a coach, that could be a good teacher, could be a family member, but he said, or a youth ministry leader. And so that was in the back of my mind, and then the very next service, Matt Manili, who is the youth leader with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, he got up on the stage and he's like, we're looking for volunteers. And it kind of hit me right away. I'm like, I feel like I'm supposed to do this. So as soon as he got off the stage, he walked outside. I went out and I seen Matt. And Matt was like, yeah, man, we'd love to have you. He's like, the biggest thing I would say, though, is if you do commit, consistency is very important. It's very important for young kids to see someone there consistently. And so with that, I kind of answered the call. And so at this point, I'm not really converted yet. I'm not really Christian, but through youth ministry, I would say that, you know, I got to study the Bible, you're teaching, so you're learning as well. And you don't really know if you're making a difference, I would say. It was hard for me to tell if I'm really making an impact. And then at the end of the year, one of the young kids, grade seven, he had a really rough year, you know, tragically lost his mom that year. And at our very last youth, he comes to me and he says, you know, Jeff, it's the fact that you've been here and you've been someone I can lean on, you really helped me get through this year. And that hit me right in the heart. And I was like, you know what, I think if you can make a difference with one kid, it's all worthwhile. And then, you know, that started my transformation, I guess you could say. And then I was baptized. Matt Manili baptized me in Gregoire Lake in 2017. And yeah, I started the journey, you know, so it's kind of turned into vocation. And so I have three kids. My oldest, Kendall, he started at youth ministry last year. And I didn't know how it was going to be, but there was a lot of blessings that came with it in the sense that, you know, I seen him looking up to some of these older kids, and he's looking at these kids, they're looking up to me. And, you know, I've got good rapport. And it really helped reinforce the spiritual headship, I guess you could say, in the home. And, you know, I found that as we got about halfway through the year, he's asking me some pretty good questions about faith. And, you know, we're taking 20 minutes to 30 minutes after each youth ministry to talk about it. And, you know, fast forward to this year, he's in grade 8, and, you know, he's got a Bible app. He reads his Bible app. And, like, so the blessings kind of came full circle in a way that I didn't really... That's not why I did it, that I didn't really expect to have an impact on my kids, but it has had a great positive impact on my kids. So, you know, I see it as a vocation. I actually didn't really want to run for the Catholic School Board. I had quite a few people that were encouraging me, and I basically didn't want to take away from youth ministry. Because I do youth ministry Monday and Tuesday nights. Now, some people have stepped up, some parents stepped up and said, hey, we'll help out if you get elected and you have to do the Monday, one Monday a month, so they're able to step in. And when I talked to the bishop when he was up here, Bishop Gary, you know, Bishop Gary was encouraging me as well. And he said, you know, it's a way that you can serve even more youth. And so I'm like, okay. So I was wrestling with that for a few weeks, and then last week, of course, I made the decision. I seen you at Avenue. I actually made the decision that day. I had talked to my friend Anthony. Anthony Hoffman was on the board, and Anthony told me that he's not going to be running. He's going to be focusing on. He serves the church community already, and he's got another kid coming. And I felt like, you know, I see Anthony as kind of a mentor. I look up to him. I think how he carries himself was very good for the school board. It's big shoes to fill, but I hope that I can, you know, I can fill those shoes if I get elected. You know, I'm very, you know, I've got good discipline. I like to hear people out. And, you know, my whole approach is really approach where it's seek to understand first, and seek to understand what the issues are. I've got my perspective on things. You know, I actually know your wife. She was vice principal at my kid's school. I've had good experience with the elementary schools here. Not so much with the high schools. So people have their own perspectives. I come in with my perspective, but really, it's coming in there with a spirit of seeking to understand, not to be understood, and really working with the board in a spirit, you know, a spirit of community, in the sense that, you know, you got to look at this as they see this as a vocation, a worthy vocation as well. So I want to advocate for faith-based education. I grew up in Newfoundland, and you might know this, but we had a Catholic school system there. By the time I came into school, it had been abolished. It was a public secular school. So I didn't have that faith piece. And, you know, coming to Christ later learning philosophy, learning the metaphysics of it, learning that there's a lot of great reasons to believe. I think that, like John Paul II said, he talked about education. Education needs to touch the soul. And I think if education doesn't have a faith-based aspect, then really it's education that doesn't touch the soul. So I know there's organizations out there that are intent on getting rid of Catholic schools. Right now we've got a publicly funded Catholic school in a system in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Ontario. Quebec and Newfoundland have been abolished. So I think it's a worthy cause. I think that it's something I want to put a lot of work ethic into. I want to be an advocate. I want to ensure that there's a faith-based education, not just for my kids, but other kids. Because, like, one thing I thought about was, you know, maybe it'd be a good idea to do a private Catholic school, because I've seen a lot of success out in BC. They've got wonderful parishes. They're doing very well. But the problem is, like, when you talk about one of the core tenets of Catholicism and Catholic education is serving the poor. And private Catholic schools are very expensive, extremely expensive, not just for the parents. It's very laborious for the people running it to maintain it. And I think the best way that we can serve the poor or the people, you know, that want a faith-based education, that can afford it, this publicly funded system is the best way. So I'm an advocate for that, and I don't know everything. I come in there with my flaws as well, but I've got a good work ethic. I've built businesses. I've spent, I was operations manager for 7 years, director of operations. I've done secondary education, business management, project management, health and safety. So I'm a big believer in the importance of, seeking to learn and get better. So, I've got a long-term outlook on what we can do with the school system here. And I think part of it is, like, I reached out not just to the parishes, but I reached out to Fort City. I reached out to Edwin with FCC. I reached out to MGA to meet with their leaders, because all of these churches have congregation that have kids in Catholic schools. I want to get their perspective on things. But not only that, I think it's important for us to not just form the kids, but we need to have opportunities for formation for teachers. One thing I want to kind of mirror is in one of the Saskatchewan school boards, they do 3 days of faith-based retreat every year. And one of the questions that has come up when I've talked to people about this as well, if we're running a deficit, where's the money going to come from? Now, I've reached out to the different faiths here, the different Christian organizations here, and there is an appetite to work together. So I want to bridge some gaps between the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches to be able to facilitate these training days, these formation retreats for teachers. I think it's very important, because there's some great teachers out there, but if some teachers haven't grown up in that formation, and if some teachers that have gone through secular universities, they're not really getting for faith formation. So you can't really expect them to give something they don't have. So I want to come at this with a spirit of evangelizing. Really, we need to evangelize our city, we need to evangelize our kids, and we need to evangelize our teachers. So.
Cool. What does the word evangelize mean to you?
Evangelize just means sharing your faith. Like, you can't really, I guess you would say, reason people or argue people into believing, right? It's you have to meet people where they're at. It's so one of our mantras in youth ministry is come as you are. We've got kids that, are not growing up in faith-based homes. We're not trying to push religion on them. We're just trying to create an atmosphere where you know, we're caring for these kids, and they can look up to us as mentors. And really, evangelizing is living out your life in Christ in a way that reflects Christ to others, right? So it's about leading by example, and you know, maybe like I said before, if even one kid comes to the faith, it's like, it's a massive win, right? Because Jesus says, you know, he leaves the 99 to go after the one. So I think every person is, you know, like it says in Genesis, we're created in the image of God. Everybody has intrinsic value. And, you know, I think faith is beautiful. And I think it's, for me, what I got out of philosophy, the Stoic philosophy, I would say in particular, I did get kind of, you know, an intelligent way to live, or a way to live in harmony with others. But then I think I found in faith in Christ, really the fulfillment of philosophy, you know, like the virtues that the philosophers talk about. All those virtues are within the story of God's people in Scripture, right? So I think it's very important that we, you know, evangelize, and not just the teachers, not just the kids, but I would like to, like, I consider myself a Christian business owner. I would like to actually be an advocate. I would like to work with other Christian business owners to kind of give the kids some opportunities to learn about entrepreneurship, give them some skills for entrepreneurship. I would like to build Christian leaders. Like, we in our youth ministry, we have leadership programs, and they're really based around serving the poor, right? And that's kind of one of the tenets of Christianity, is like, you know, how many times in my life when I was younger did I, you know, walk by someone on the street, you know, and not even look twice at that person. So I think we, right now, my kid is in grade 8. Our school system, if you remember, we had kind of a baby boom. So our baby boom generation is probably from grade 7 to 10-ish right now. So we've got a lot of kids in that age group. I would like to create an atmosphere where this, our region, is somewhere where they would like to stay, build a business, start a family. And I think part of that is really creating a good Christian community, a good community culture, and you know, making sure that there's opportunities that they can see, oh, hey, there is some Christians, you know, there's Christian business owners here that are out there, they're being successful, they're doing it in a way that is Christ-like. You know, they're giving back to the communities, and I think that's very important, because a lot of kids are, it's what you call a brain drain. They're going to go off to Edmonton or Calgary, they're going to go off to secondary education institutions. So I want to work with the community. I want to build our community here and make sure that there is opportunities for the youth, right? Because really, it's you know, when it comes to alpha programs and, you know, Bible study programs in schools, really it's the young Christian leaders that are advocating for these things. We need to support them in that, right? And we need to help them grow as leaders, and specifically as Christian leaders.
There we go. Tanner tapped his phone, though, and that means he is ready with his segment called the Max City Minute, brought to you by Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Tanner, hit him with the Max City Minute.
Question number one, what is one thing you like to do with your family to unwind?
Do with my family to unwind? We like fishing. We really like traveling and camping. And I would say that this summer was awesome. We went down to a Christian camp, a family camp, Crimson Lake out near Rocky Mountain. And it was a, you got to learn horse riding. So my littlest one, she's 7, she just loved it. We did a rodeo, canoeing. So we were there for 3.5 days, and it was just a wonderful just a wonderful time. And like, I kind of seen my son Kendall and my daughter Brooklyn, they really took an interest in archery, and they actually won an award in archery. And then there was a climbing wall, and my littlest one, she was like so resilient. She was trying the first day, she got halfway up, and then the next day she tried again, she got halfway. And then as we're leaving, the guy's like, well, do you want to try? And I'm like, man, this is a, he's a skinny guy, right? I'm like, I'm 230 pounds, man, I don't know if this is for me. And he's like, no, he's got a ticket in how to belay people, so it's wrapped around a post. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I got to the top, and then I got down, and my daughter said, Dad, I want to try again. And she went, and she got to the top. She's just super resilient, man. Awesome. Got right to the top, touched the top, and then she won an award for resilience.
Nice.
So, yeah, we love that. We love getting out into nature, fishing, hiking. I'm taking my son hunting this year for the first time. He's 13, so, yeah.
All right, question number two. What is one issue that you would want to help change if elected?
One issue I would like to help change? I think it's important, like if you look at why the Newfoundland Catholic system was abolished, it got to a point where you couldn't differentiate Catholic education from public education. So I think one of the most important things we need to do is there needs to be a visible difference. Like, and part of that really is serving the community, I think. And some things that we can do, I would like to work with the youth ministries that have leadership programs in place already, to work with the schools to be able to go out and serve the poor in a way that, you know, it's gotten to the point, I think, that people are volunteering to put it on a resume or to get a credit in some aspect. And serving the poor shouldn't be about that. It really has to be a selfless thing. And I think that's something that can be measured as well. You know, the impact that our Catholic schools can have on some local charity organizations, it could be a very big impact. So that's one thing. And then I think, like I said, working with teachers to be able to provide formation opportunities for them, which helps the formation of our kids. Because I think the kids, as they graduate, if we build good Christian leaders, I think that's going to have a big impact on our city. And then something else I've thought a lot about is we have over 200 homeschool families here in town, and I'm actually doing what you would call a homeschool hybrid with my son. So he does he's actually in public school. So he does public school, and then I've got a reading program for him. I'm teaching him critical thinking, logical fallacies. I've got him starter books on philosophy. I've got him financial books for teens, and then some theology. But it's expensive. Like, to go and buy these books is very expensive. I would actually like to work with homeschoolers to be able to provide a safe space, whether that's a computer lab that they can use for a couple hours, whether that's some books that we can have in the library for them to use. And people might think, well, that's kind of counterproductive, you know, they're not in our school system. Well, they're in our community, and a lot of these parents are Christian. And I think it's important to support that larger community and to build that bridge between Catholic education and homeschool education. And I think that's just another way that we can show that, hey, we are different. You know, we offer something. We're trying to build a community, right? And I think that's where, like, people get real siloed. You know what I mean? Like, well, this is, you know, this is public. This is, you know, we've got our homeschool group here. We've got this other group over here. I think we need to work together more. You know, it can't be so much about individualism as really growing our community for the future generation. You know, this is, they're our future, man. And, you know, these homeschool kids, they're going to be part of our community. And homeschool kids get a bad rap. Like, for example, I've got a friend, Scott, 23-year-old. He was homeschooled. And he got picked on a lot for, oh, you're a homeschool kid. Okay, that makes sense. He's a great kid. He went to St. Therese Theological in Saskatchewan. He he volunteered with NET, which is a Catholic youth ministry. And then he came up, he worked with me on the Bison Ranch. And it was really something I had never experienced before. We actually prayed on the way to work. We prayed at 10 a.m., we prayed at 3 p.m., and we prayed on the way home. And I'm like, man, this is a great way to do work, you know? And there's one of the Catholic, one of these Catholic ideas is, you know, your work as a prayer. Really, it comes from the monasteries. But your work is really a prayer, and I just thought that was so fantastic. And he's actually helping you. I think you might have met him at youth ministry. Scott, the young guy?
Me.
He shook his hand, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he's helping with youth now. And, you know, so I think we need to, like, he's just a great young man and a really good mentor for kids. So I think the whole solo approach and, like, these, you know, you guys are over here, we're over here. We're serving the same community. So I'm a real big believer in we need to differentiate ourselves as a Catholic school system, so that people can't say, well, there's no difference. You know, it should all be public.
Well, question number three. What is one thing that you think the public school system does well?
Well, I mentioned earlier that I've had some really good experience with the elementary schools. I have three kids that have gone through the Catholic elementary schools. There's some really great teachers there. The liturgy is in the schools. There's prayer in the schools. And I think there's some great principals out there as well. So I think that we do have a good system here. It needs to be advocated for. It needs to be, you know, we need to seek to understand, what issues are the teachers having, because the teachers are having issues. 95% of people, teachers did want to strike in Alberta. They've got lower wages. I read a stat that on average, a teacher spends $600 out of their own pocket for decorating their classroom or putting stuff in their classroom. So I think we need to work with them. I think that's a big thing. I think the people that are in the system, we've got some great people. We've got some great Christ-centered, good educators. And to me, I've always kind of thought this, that I think being an educator, you know, outside of maybe being a stay-at-home mom as a very important job, I think that teachers are one of the most important jobs in our society. They're molding the minds of our youth. So I'm a big supporter of that vocation. They need to be taken care of. But I would say, yeah, that is the big positive, is we've got some great educators here.
Question number four. If you could have one superpower, what would you choose?
One superpower. I would say something that you could save people with, you know.
I think that's all of them.
Yeah.
Any superpower you could save.
I think about firefighters and people that are, like, in harm's way a lot. Yeah, so if I was gonna be anyone, probably be like Superman, I think. Superman is
valid.
There you go.
And your final question, what would you describe as the perfect breakfast?
Perfect breakfast? Well, I've got some buddies that are ranchers, and I've always, for the last 6 years, I've bought a cow, grass-fed, grass-finished. I buy a pig, I get a lot of stuff from everything from eggs to vegetables. Eggs from a farm are so much better. And I would say steak and eggs. So grass-fed, grass-finished steak from the farm and fresh eggs from the farm.
And those have been your five questions.
There we go. Well, Tanner tapped his watch. That means we are out of time. But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
I would say, so I have a website. I've written some...
...as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.